The Palestine Report with Hafez Ibrahim Musa.
It is the Palestinian Report, and Hafiz Ibrahim Musa joining us online this morning. Hafiz, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let's start off with the first one. Tragic death of the Palestinian Rayan.
Yes, indeed. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is a story that has really gripped and sent shockwaves throughout Palestinian society because of the very tragic way in which this Palestinian child has passed away. 7-year-old Rayan Yasser Soleimani is from the village of Tuku near Beit Lahan, Bethlehem, in the occupied West Bank. And he passed away while being hounded by Israeli soldiers who were really pursuing him and other Palestinian children in the village. And the parallel that's being made by some is the child Rayan, the Moroccan child Rayan, who passed away in very tragic circumstances earlier in the year after falling in a disused well. And, you know, the way the world had followed that particular very tragic story. And here we have another child by the name of Rayan who passes away in very tragic circumstances as well. What happened here was at a time when the village was extremely peaceful, extremely calm, we had all of a sudden Israeli soldiers raiding this particular village and going door to door, but particularly trying to seek out the children who they had claimed, the children of this village, were responsible, they said, for throwing stones at the soldiers. After going through a number of houses, they eventually came to the house of Rayan, the family house of Rayan, where they started banging aggressively on the door. When they entered the home, they first set their sights on the first boys who came into their sight. His brothers, Ali and Khalid, were just marginally older than him. And they, you know, started screaming at them, started trying to arrest those particular children, alleging that they were the stone throwers. This created quite a pandemonium in the house, screaming, and the uncle of the boys trying to stop their arrest. In that, you had the youngster, Rayan, 7 years old, who was in his room, coming out of his room to see what was going on. And when they came, when he came out, he became a target as well. They started screaming at him, accusing him of throwing stones. In the fear of the moment, he started running through the house to try and avoid the soldiers, and eventually ran out of the door of the home with the Israeli soldiers in hot pursuit of this totally terrified and frightened 7-year-old Palestinian boy. Eventually he collapses, and eyewitnesses say, based on the tests that were done thereafter, that he probably passed away. A 7-year-old boy, because of the fear and the anguish of the moment, passed away of a heart attack, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This, as I said, rightfully has sent shockwaves across the village, across Palestinian society, and people have remembered him as Palestinians went back to school yesterday, that empty desk in the classroom, also the very shocking and traumatizing picture of the young lifeless boy on a stretcher, and surrounding him are not the elderly as we typically would see, but a whole bunch of young boys, his colleagues, his friends, his brothers, and so forth. They remember him as we would remember a child, an excellent student at school, his favorite subject being Arabic, who loved, as every child has their own favorite, he loved the Palestinian delicacy of stuffed grape leaves, and a young boy terrorized who was about to celebrate his 8th birthday.
Rahimahullah ta'ala. Moving on, Avisab, we will see a full-blown Israeli offensive in the occupied West Bank before the Israeli elections.
Yeah, that's the question at the moment, and I'll sketch a bit of a background here. Again, just as we had that tragedy over the weekend, the arrests continue in the West Bank, in East Jerusalem, Al-Quds as well. a teenager, 18-year-old teenager, struck in the neck by an Israeli bullet while he was driving on a motorbike, Fayaz Khalid Dandoum. The Israelis obviously trying to brush this incident aside, claiming that he tried to throw a Molotov cocktail at them. But after his demise in this way, 18-year-old youth, there was a day of mourning, angry protests erupting in this particular part of Al-Quds, dozens of people gathering outside the family's home to pay their respects and chanting anti-occupation slogans. And we would see so many neighborhoods across Jerusalem over the past 2 weeks have been extremely volatile. Then take a small trip to the West Bank, and just in the past week, Israeli forces killing 4 Palestinians in a major incident in the occupied city of Jenin in the West Bank. And interestingly, the Israelis using something called the pressure cooker tactic on the fighters here in the West Bank, where progressively they start using heavier weapons with the intent, firing heavier weapons at the home where the fighters were holed up in, with the intent of applying pressure on them to the extent that if they do not surrender, the Israelis would demolish the home completely and kill the inhabitants of the home, and that's eventually what had occurred. So we've got a very volatile Jerusalem, we've got a very volatile West Bank. Add to that the fact that there's these incursions at Masjid al-Aqsa at the moment due to the Jewish holidays, and the track record of the past few months has been that Jenin has been extremely volatile, almost daily raids by the Israelis since the beginning of March. And this has led to many Palestinian observers, depending on their point of reference, saying that we are in a period very similar to before the second Intifada, or if they have a closer point of reference, very close to, very similar to what we had before the outbreak of the war on Gaza in 2021, the Israelis saying Jenin is totally out of control in the West Bank. They've lost control of that area. Nablus, they still have some degree of control over it, but they are fearing that because Nablus is a bigger city, if the violence or if the resistance now continues at the rate that it is, this poses even a greater danger to the Israelis than Jenin, because it would spread from Nablus to Ramallah and other towns in the West Bank. And therefore, in Israeli circles, to answer the question then, they are facing two dilemmas. The elections coming up on the 1st of November, and the West Bank is a total hotbed of resistance at the moment. What would they do? One, they're considering a full-blown operation on Jenin or Nablus at this particular moment in time, or the second, that they may be leaning to more strongly at the moment, fearing that if they embark on a operation, a full-blown operation, and it goes wrong, it would create all sorts of chaos for those who are trying to get themselves elected. And therefore, they are now perhaps pursuing or considering pursuing more tactical operations, more surgical operations in the use of drones after a very long period on the resistance in the West Bank. And this shows how dynamics have changed. Before, when we spoke about assaults and resistance, it would mostly be focused on Gaza, but the dynamics have changed considerably in the West Bank. And coming to the elections, whichever way this goes, whichever decisions are made, it is irreversibly going to have an impact on the Israeli electoral outcomes. Lapid would like to show a position of strength, and on the other hand, if he does not show the required position of strength that is required from Israeli society that favors militarism, it's obviously going to then play into the hands of the even more extreme right in the Israeli electorate, and then favor the likes of Benjamin Netanyahu, who is waiting in the wings for a comeback.
Also, very quickly, Avisab, we see disturbing footage of settler desecration of Ibrahimi Masjid in Al-Khalil.
Jim, this is on the again the same phenomenon that we're seeing at Masjid al-Aqsa, where Israeli settlers have been storming the masjid, trying to blow the shofar, and what is happening at the Ibrahim Masjid, it seems like an absolute party going in. There's pianos playing, people dancing, people raving within the masjid in clear sight of the graves of the Anbiya and the spouses of the Anbiya who are housed in the Ibrahim Masjid. That's inside the masjid and outside the masjid. The entire courtyard is filled with settlers for this particular occasion. We know that the Adhan has been prevented from being given at the Ibrahim Masjid. For this period of the Jewish holidays, the masjid is totally off-bounds, completely. So it ceases, in the sense of Muslims performing salah therein, to be accessible to Muslims for this entire Jewish holiday period. And I think the most important lesson to get from this, as many people have made the parallel, is that the design and the prototype of settler incursions and settler takeovers and division of the Ibrahim Masjid is exactly what the Israeli occupation seeks to then transplant and replicate at Masjid al-Aqsa.
Obviously, Ibrahim, jazakallah khairan for your time, much appreciated. We hope to catch up with you next week, inshallah.
Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.